Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, no problem. We'll have all of our verses on the big Bible in the sky right behind me. But can I tell you how excited I am about next Sunday morning? Next Sunday is our 5-year celebration. Come on, somebody get excited about that 5-year celebration with me. Hey, it's going to be an amazing time. We're going to be talking about all that God has done here in this community in the last 5 years, and we're going to be rejoicing and praising God over what he has done. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to look forward into the next 5 years. And so if you've ever wondered, I wonder where we're headed. I wonder what's next. You don't want to miss next Sunday, because we're going to be sharing with you the vision that we believe God has laid out for us for these next 5 years. And I believe that it will be motivational and inspirational. I believe there's going to be a hook that gets set in your heart that says, man, I want to be a part of that. But I want to give you a little homework. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, we got homework this week. We got homework. Come on, tell them. Now, some of you are not used to that. We got a little homework. Here's my homework for you, is that you would invite somebody to come with you next week. For two reasons. One, or for two things. I want you, one, to think about people that you know, that you were in relationship with, that used to come to North Point, but you haven't seen them in a long time. And for whatever reason, they've just drifted away from church, drifted away from the community. I want you to reach out to them and invite them to come back, because I believe they're going to be reminded about what they were a part of, that they were a part of building this community. And I believe it's going to minister to their hearts. And then the second thing is, I want you to invite people, because I believe there's some people that are just looking for a mission to get involved in. They're looking for a cause to advance. And I believe when they hear about what God has placed in our heart for this community for the next 5 years, I believe that there are going to be some people that jump on board and say, I want to be a part of what this church is doing. So you got homework this week, and the homework is, don't come alone next Sunday. Bring somebody along with you, and I believe that God's going to meet us here and is going to minister to that friend, that coworker, that family member that you bring with us. Well, here we are in the very last week of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and you can rejoice over that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yay, amen, we almost made it. You know, 7 days left. Hey, you know, if you're just joining us and you haven't really been here and don't really know we've been in a 21-day fast, it's not too late for you. You can jump on the train, finish out these last 7 days with us, and fast alongside us. And we're praying every morning here in the sanctuary at 6:30, and I want to lay a challenge out to you. If you have not been to our morning prayer, I want to challenge you to come join us. Even if it's for one day this week, join us at 6:30. We pray from 6:30 to 7:30, Monday through Friday. If your schedule just does not permit, whether you got children you have to get up and get ready for school, or whether you're already at work by that time, if your schedule does not permit, Saturday at 9 o'clock, we are going to be having prayer. And so I want you to be a part of one of our days of prayer. If you can come every day, great. But I want you to make a significant effort to be here for one of our mornings of prayer, 6:30 Monday through Friday, and 9 o'clock on Saturday. And because here's what we said, this is our year of expansion, amen? Our year of expansion. 2018 is our year of expansion, but what we have said is that we have to make room for God in our schedules in order for God to make a move in our hearts. And so we got to make room for God. So one of the ways we're doing that is through our fasting and our prayer time together. And so we believe God's going to make a move in our hearts, and he's going to make a move in our community. Well, we kicked off this year in a series entitled Growing to Grow. And if you missed the first couple weeks, you can go back on our website and access iTunes, or you can just search iTunes, Community Church North Point, and you can download those messages and listen. But today we're going to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we're going to start reading in verse 23. John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." Jesus saying, it's about time for me to die. And he knew what was coming. And in verse 24, he says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder. Others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The voice was for your benefit and not mine. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject, dying to expand. Dying to expand. Let's pray. Father, I ask in the next few moments that you would do what only you can do in our hearts and in our minds. Father, we pray that you would mold us and you would make us everything that you designed and created us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Have you ever bought something and it did not turn out to be what you thought it was going to be? Have you ever purchased something and it didn't do what you actually thought it was going to do? You know, this can happen online all the time, because you look at the picture and you read the description and you think, oh man, this is exactly what I need, and it looks like it's really good quality, only to click the purchase button, it to arrive at your house, you take it out of the package and you look at it and think this thought, I could probably make this myself. You know, infomercials are infamous for this as well. You know, and Destiny will tell you, man, I am a sucker for a good salesman. I mean, if you are a good salesman and you can talk the talk and you can show me the show, I'm like, man, I feel like I need to buy from you just because you were so good at what you just did. And, you know, infomercials do this all the time. You know, you got the kid with the Sharpie and the kid marks all over the wall, and then they take this little spray and they go, ch-ch-ch. And it, whew, and the Sharpie just disappears off the wall. And then they say, for $9.99, you can, I mean, that should have been the clue right there. $9.99, if it worked like that, they would be selling it for $999. But $9.99, you think, oh, this is just what I need. I got that little mark in my hallway. And if I just buy this, and so you go on, it's so exciting, you order it, it shows up at your house, and you take that little spray bottle right to that spot in your hallway. And I mean, by the time, I mean, your shoulder is burning and the mark hasn't gone anywhere. And it's not what you thought it was going to be. It doesn't look like or work the way that you thought it was going to look like or work. And this is what I've discovered in life, is that expansion can work a lot just like that. Expansion can work a lot like that. When I hear the word expansion, I think growth. And when I think about growth, I think about going up. But here Jesus gives us another picture of expansion, and he gives us another picture of growth. And it doesn't begin with up, it starts with down. Because this is what Jesus says in verse 24, the scripture that we just read. He says, I tell you the truth. Now, how many of you know when Jesus is the truth, and he says, I tell you the truth, this is like a double truth. So you like really need to listen to this, what he says now. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You see, Jesus is teaching us a principle, and that is, before that beautiful rose blooms in your flower bed, there had to be a seed that was planted in the soil and died. Before you reap a huge harvest in the field, there has to be seeds that are planted in the ground, and those seeds have to die in order for you to get the harvest. And here we see Jesus, as he is speaking to his own future, he is talking about himself when he says there has to be a kernel, a seed that is put into the ground, but when the seed dies, it will come forth and it will produce a huge harvest. He is speaking to what is to come in his own life, that he would die and that he would be buried in the soil. And when he was buried in the soil, that there would be a huge harvest. Do you understand today, if you have believed upon Jesus, that he is the Lord and the Savior of your life, today you are sitting in his barn. You are a part of the huge harvest that he was talking about all these years ago, because the seed went into the ground and the seed died. And because the seed died, now there is a harvest of new life on the earth, all over the earth. Just the greatest expansion that this world would ever know outside of creation. How many of you understand, if you ask the disciple, does this look like expansion when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when they put Jesus in the tomb, they say, no, this isn't expansion. This is a dead end. This is not what we thought it was going to be. He was talking about building this kingdom, and man, we were ready to set the throne up. He was talking about this kingdom that he had come to establish, and man, we were ready to see it happen right before our eyes, but we weren't ready for the cross. We weren't prepared to see him go into the tomb. But you see, Jesus understood the principle of expansion. And if anything is going to expand, and if anything is going to grow, then something must die first. Jesus was in the tomb. Jesus had died. But don't forget what Jesus had said in John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus died, it was only a temporary status. If he put it on Facebook, it would have only lasted for a couple days, because he was dead, but he is resurrection and life. And whenever he tasted death, he did not lose who he was. He was life and he was resurrection. So when he went into the grave, it was only a matter of time before he came back out, because it was who Jesus was. He was resurrection and he was life. And I want you to see this morning. The massive harvest, the massive expansion of the harvest that Jesus is speaking of here in Luke in verse 24. This massive expansion, it did not come through good, solid teaching. It did not come through engaging and entertaining parables. What he's talking about, it did not come when he fed the 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. It didn't come when he opened blind eyes. No, the expansion that Jesus is talking about here would only come through his death. It was through his death that would come the plentiful harvest of new lives. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus is teaching us about expansion. He is talking about what is about to happen in him, but he's teaching us a principle, a powerful principle of expansion and growth. You see, so many times what we want is we just want the steps to growth. Tell me step one. Tell me step two. Tell me the ABCs of expansion. And when we say that, we think like we're climbing, because that's what we think when we think expansion. So what we say is like, hey, just give me the steps, because expansion and growth means that I'm going to be going up. So if you'll just give me this, Pastor, what do I need to do here? Okay, so, group leader, what do I need to do now? What's the next step for me? What's the next step for me? And we are concerned with the steps of growth, but here's what God wants. God wants to take us through the seasons of growth. It's not the steps of growth, they're the seasons of growth. And sometimes you can get confused because you say, I've got a desire for expansion, but it doesn't feel like I'm going up. It doesn't feel like I'm climbing right now. This is my year of expansion. I have written it on my wall, in my room. I'm using the hashtag every time I put anything on Twitter. I am focused on the year of expansion, but I just want the steps. And God's not interested in giving you steps. God's interested in you and taking you through the seasons. I don't know if you notice, you got seasons in a year. Every season is important. Every season is important. Your spring season, your summer season, fall season, and the winter season. And you're saying, but I want to grow. I want it to be harvest time. I want to be producing fruit. And God said, no, it's not time for that. Right now, it's time to be planted. It's not the season right now. You want to be bearing fruit and you want to be fruitful right now, but God's saying, no, it's not that season right now. You just want the steps to growth, but I'm interested in taking you through the seasons of growth. Why? Because we always want to end, or we always want to get to arrive at that end product so quickly. But God's not interested in that. What God wants to do is he wants to guide us through the process completely. He's not interested in you getting where you want to go and how fast you can get there. No, he wants to take you through the process completely, because he will do a work in you in December that he can't do in you in July. He will do a work in you in the springtime that he can't do in the fall. He will do a work in you under the heat of the summer that he can't do in February. He will do a work in you in the fall that he can't do in you in the spring. So he wants to take you through the seasons, and he wants to take you through the process, and he wants to do this work in you completely. Why? Because he's interested in you having the growth that he wants you to have. It never happens as fast as you want it to happen. It doesn't happen as linearly as you want it to happen. It's not just a straight line. You don't get there that way. You don't just take step one, step two, step three. There is no ABC to growth. It doesn't work that way. It comes in seasons, and it comes through process. And God says, I want you to go with me on this process, because I will make you fruitful. It's just probably not going to look like you thought it was going to look. And we have to remember that Jesus did not come to remodel us. Jesus came to resurrect us. Jesus didn't come to remodel us. He came to resurrect us. The Bible says you were dead in your sin, and now you are alive in Christ. There is no remodel in that scripture. You were dead one minute, and the next moment you are alive. Why? Because he is the life, and you were dead in your sins. Now you are alive in him. You were old, but now you are made brand new. Well, Paul writes in Corinthians, and he says, if you are in Christ, he says, you are a new creation. He doesn't say you are a better version of your old self. He didn't say you're going to look more polished on the outside. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus, the religious ruler, comes to him, and they begin to engage in dialogue, and Jesus looks at him and says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I can't just give you one little prayer to pray. I can't just give you one little scripture to memorize. I can't just hand you a devotion book and say, just go through this and everything's going to be okay. No, you have to be born again. You have to become a new creature. The only way you get the new means that there is something old. It means that something has to die so that something new can come alive on the inside of you. Jesus here is talking about himself, but he transitions so quickly. He's saying, I am that seed. I am the seed that's going to be planted. There will come a great harvest out of this. Many, many new kernels, many new lives, it says. An abundant harvest. He's talking about himself, but he transitions so quickly where he's not talking about himself anymore. And I believe this speaks to us in verse 25. He says, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. So he goes one minute talking about himself, and he transitions now where he's not just giving us his path, he's giving us our path. Now he's connecting the dots, saying, I'm talking about more than what you think I'm talking about. Yes, I'm talking about me being the seed to produce the harvest, but I'm also teaching you a principle about growth and expansion. I'm doing more than you can see, and I want to connect these things together. So I'm going to talk about myself, and I'm going to talk about you, and when these things get put together, you're going to walk away with the principle of growth and expansion that will change your life forever. What Jesus begins to say here, he says, if you love this life, you're gonna lose it. If you love your way, if you love your way of talking, if you love your way of thinking, if you love that fleshly side of yourself, if you are in love with that, you see, the Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart above everything else is wicked. There are no good people. You can say, oh, well, he's a good person. There are no good people. The Bible clearly says that. The heart above everything else, that is all of our hearts. Our heart is deceitful. Our heart wants to lie. The intent of our heart is wicked. There is nothing good inside of us whatsoever. There is no way we are good. We are not good. The only thing good in us is when Christ comes to dwell inside of us. He is the one that redeems us. He is the one that makes us righteous, and he is the one that makes us good. It is only him that does that, nothing else. And so he says here, if you love the way that you live, you're going to lose everything. If you love your own perspective, if you love your own opinion, if you love your way of doing business, if you love your way of talking to your spouse, if you love your way of treating people, if you love your way of anger, if you love your way of greed, if you love your way of self, if you love that way, then you are going to lose everything. But then Jesus gives us hope, because you don't have to stay there. He says, but for those who care nothing for this life in this world, they will keep it for eternity. Now, this is something that if you read that the first time, maybe you just think, okay, well, I guess I have to wait. I have to wait for eternity to get this life. No, he says you get to keep it for eternity. You get to keep it for eternity. Austin, if I gave you something today and I said, hey, you get to keep this until the end of the year, it's not the end of the year that you get it. You walk out of this place with it today in your pocket. And when Jesus says you get to keep it for eternity, he says, I'm giving you something today, and it's abundant life, and you get to walk in abundant life today. But then when life on this earth ends for you, you walk out of abundant life into eternal life. The life just transitions, but the life does not stop. It just keeps on going, and it keeps on moving. He says you get to keep it for eternity, but you're not waiting till eternity to get it. No, he gives it to you today. You get to keep it. You get to keep it for all eternity. You say, how do we get there? Just in verse 26, he says, hey, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. You have to follow me. My servants must be where I am. If you're going to serve me, you have to follow me. Now, where did Jesus just say that he was going? He just said he was going to die. He was going into the ground. And so he's saying here, if you want to serve me, you have to follow me. If you want to follow me into the life that's coming, you also have to follow me into the death that's before the life. Oh, you want to serve me? Okay, great. You have to follow me, and you have to be where I am. Where was Jesus about to go? He was about to go into the grave. Now, he came up out of that grave, which is our promise as well. We will come out of that grave, but you can't come out of a grave until you first step into a grave. You don't get to the life that he has if you don't first go where he went. He went into the ground. He died, and here he gives us these words by saying, you have to follow me. You have to be where I am. And this is what Jesus understood. Jesus understood the ultimate harvest of my life is on the other side of my death. Did he get some followers while he was marching around Galilee? Yeah, he got some. Was he able to share the good news and have some people believe in him and follow him? Yeah, it happened. Was he able to do a few miracles that sparked faith in people to believe? That happened. But don't you understand that the greatest expansion in Jesus' life and ministry was after his death, when he got into the hearts of men and women? And so now all over Jerusalem and all over Galilee and all over Samaria and all over the world, people began to take the Spirit of Jesus, and the Spirit of Jesus began to enter into other people as people were born again, believing on the name of Jesus, confessing him as Lord and Savior over their life, and the kingdom began to expand and expand and expand and expand and expand. And we read about it in the book of Acts, and it was miraculous. It was a huge expansion that has today taken over the entire world. People worshiping in China, worshiping in South America, worshiping in Europe, worshiping all over the world. The expansion of the seed. Jesus teaching us the principle of expansion. The harvest was on the other side of death. Now, if Jesus' harvest was on the other side of death and he is teaching a principle, then the process will be exactly the same for us to get to our harvest. For us to experience the life that God has for us, then we must be willing to experience the death that he wants us to die in our flesh, so that we can have the life of the Spirit on the inside of us. It's the It's the only avenue. It's the way that we get to expansion. And Jesus continues on in verse 27 as he's talking to his followers here, and he says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled." How many of you, it encourages you to know that Jesus' soul was troubled? I don't know about you, but just read the Bible for what it is. That encourages me. I'm like, thank God. Like, go Jesus. You were troubled. You know, it makes me feel good that he was troubled. He says, my soul is troubled. And then he says this, "Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Then this voice speaks from heaven and says, "I've already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again." The crowd hears it. Some think it's thunder. Others think it's an angel that speaks. Then Jesus said, "The voice you heard was for your benefit." Jesus said, "Should I pray? Save me from this hour?" He says, "This is the reason that I came." What was the reason that he came? He came to die. Why did he come to die? So that he could get to his harvest. So that me and you today could be seated in this place in Bossier City, Louisiana, some 2,000 years afterward, and we could be his harvest. It's why he came to die, because he so loved the world and he so wanted to expand the Father's kingdom and put the Father's Spirit in the hearts of men. And he said, "I have come to die because I know what's on the other side of my death, and it's multiplication, growth, and expansion." Jesus says, "So I'm not praying, God save me. I'm praying, I surrender me. I'm not praying, God save me from this circumstance. God save me from this situation. I'm praying, God, I surrender me in the midst of this circumstance. I'm not praying, God save me from what is around me. I'm praying, God, I'm surrendering to you in the midst of where I am. It's not about you saving me. It's about me surrendering right now in this moment." And then Jesus begins to give us the pattern. And he says, "Father, bring glory to your name." What was Jesus telling? It's not about my comfort. It's not about what I want right now. It's not about my way or my opinion or my perspective or my two cents. It's not about any of that. No, there's only one thing that's important. And Father, that is you receiving glory. So glorify your name. God, I'm not asking you to save me from this situation. I am surrendering in the midst of this situation. And as I surrender, I do it for one thing, and that is that your name would be glorified. Glorify your name. And he says, then God spoke. Then God spoke. God only spoke after the surrender. God spoke when he came down and said, "It's not about my way, it's about your way. It's not about my name, it's about your name. It's not about what I want, it's all about what you want. God, let your name be glorified." Once I have surrendered my will and I've surrendered my heart to the glory of God and the purpose of God, then God speaks. You see, sometimes I think we miss God speaking, because we're praying, "God, save us," instead of, "God, bury us. God, save me. Save me from this situation." And God say, "No, I don't want to save you from it. I'm trying to get you in the ground. God, save me. Deliver me. Come and rescue me from this situation." And God say, "No, I want you to be buried in this situation, because I'm trying to produce some fruit in you during this season. I'm trying to produce my will and my way in you. I'm trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. But the fruit of the Spirit only comes when the flesh is buried in the ground and it dies. And then you can begin to produce what I want you to produce." And we're saying, "God, save me." And God saying, "But I want to bury you. I want to bury you here." Why? Because it is the principle of expansion. It's the principle of growth. And the Apostle Paul, he knew a little bit about this process. He understood the principle that Jesus was talking about. And we see it in his writings. And in the book of Philippians, in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he understands this thing about death producing life and life producing expansion. And so he begins to write chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It says, everything else is worthless when compared to the value, the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus. He didn't say the infinite value of church attendance. He didn't say the infinite value of making sure that my kids are raised in Kid City where they know Bible characters. He didn't say the infinite value of learning some principles that I can apply to my life that are going to help my marriage or help my business. That's not what he said. He said the infinite value is in knowing Christ. My question to you today is, how much value are you getting in your life just from knowing him? Just from knowing. I'm not talking about the value you get out of community because now you have some good friends and y'all go have coffee together and your life got better. I'm not talking about the fact that now you're learning some things that you can apply to your life and you got a declaration that you can speak over your life every day and some things are starting to happen and you're getting some value in some other places. Yeah, there's other value, but how many understand there's only one place to get infinite value? And I would say, how much value are you getting in your life simply from knowing Christ intimately, personally, and deeply affectionately? How much value are you getting from that? Because Paul said, everything else is worthless compared to that. Not to the blessing that God can give me. Not to the peace that he can give me. Not to the joy. It's not about what I can get out of this. This is what Paul says. He says, no. There is value in simply knowing him, in being personally engaged, knowing him intimately. That's where I find my value. And I have considered everything worthless just to know him. But he doesn't stop there. He says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. He says, I have discarded everything else in my life, the successes of my past, the failures of my past. I have put everything else out on my front porch, and whoever wants to come by and pick it up can come by and pick it up because I have determined that it is garbage. I have determined that it is worthless. There is only one thing worth it, and that is knowing Jesus Christ. And he said, I've put everything else, discarded out everything else. Why? So that I could gain Christ. I don't get to add Christ to my stuff. I don't get to add Jesus to my already existing life. I don't get to just squeeze Jesus into the corner and pray or have that conversation whenever I need to have that conversation so I can feel a little bit better about just knowing that he's there. No. That's not what I get to do. I don't have that luxury. Paul understood, if I want to gain Christ and everything that he has for me, then I must know him. And when I begin to know him, I will begin to push everything else out of my life because there will be so much value that he brings from this relationship, from this fellowship. He will give me so much value in my life that I will look around me and say, this means nothing to me anymore. This means nothing to me. I don't want that in my life anymore because I have to gain Christ. Paul didn't stop there. He said, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. And everybody said amen. Come on, I want to experience that mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, huh? Oh, no, I was with you a minute ago. When you said I want to know him, I said amen. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I'll put a double amen. Amen, amen. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Paul, what are you talking about? Paul, why did you write that? Because he understood the principle of expansion. He said, I will experience the power of his resurrection. Oh, I will obtain that life that he has for me. Oh, I will experience that, but there's only one way for me to get it. And it's the same way that Jesus got his, is the same way I'm going to get mine. And Jesus went into the ground, he was buried, he died, and he came out. And Paul says, I want to suffer with you, and I want to share in your death. So let me go into the ground so that I can come out on the other side. This is where Jesus' harvest was. This is where my harvest is going to be. And the only way to get from here to there is if I die to who I am. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said, I die daily, because he understood the more I die, the more harvest I can have. The more that I die, the more Jesus I get. The more of me that doesn't exist anymore, the more I gain of Christ. The more of me that stays here, the more that I can move here. And he understood the powerful principle of growth and expansion. It doesn't always look the way that we thought it was going to look. It might come a different way, but it comes nonetheless through death. And this is the life that Jesus invites us to. Jesus invites us to a life of death. Say, wow, so encouraging, Pastor Philip. Thank you so much. So glad I came to church today. Wow, you know, I really like it whenever you preach on like the joy of the Lord. And I really like when you talk about praise and worship. You know, I would really prefer if I come back and talk about the unconditional love of God and the amazing grace. That would be wonderful. But you see, here today, it should not shock you if you are a Jesus follower that to know that Jesus invited you into a life of death, because that's what Jesus talks about all throughout the Gospels. Jesus talks about the death that he was inviting you to. Let's just look real quickly in Luke chapter 9, one instance where Jesus is inviting us into this life. In verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, Jesus says this to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, anyone can do it. Anyone. Christianity is the most inclusive religion in the world. Anybody. God loved the whole world, that anyone could confess and believe in their heart and be saved. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, it's open, the door's open, but here's what you must do. Everybody say must. He wanted to make it so clear. He said, if you want to be my follower, these are a few non-negotiables. You must turn from your selfish ways. He didn't say you need to put some new verbiage around your selfish ways. He didn't say you need to polish up your selfish ways so it looks better to the church folks. He didn't say you need to learn how to talk about it a little bit better so it's not really sin anymore, it's just a struggle. You know, he didn't say you just need to clean up some things so you can get moving. No, he said you got to turn from your selfish ways. You got to turn away from who your heart wants you to be. You got to turn away from who your flesh wants you to be. You have to turn away from that. And then what do you have to do? He says you have to take up your cross. Notice, he didn't say you need to wear your cross. He ain't talking about putting a cross around your neck. He didn't say, oh, you definitely need a fish bumper sticker on your car. Driving your little fish around town so people know where you stand. That's not what he said. He said, no, you need to take up your cross. You need to carry your cross. And in the Gospel of Luke, he records, you need to carry it daily. Why? Because I need to be reminded every day that there is something in me that needs to die. I don't just get my cross out and bring it to church on Sunday. Take it back home and put it back in my closet. Say, I'll see you next Sunday. No, you carry it on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Why? Because there's something in you that needs to die every single day. And Jesus said, when you're carrying that cross, you won't forget. You'll remember. Something needs to die. He says, and then you follow me. You turn from your selfish ways. You make commitment to take up your cross every day. You make commitment to die every day. And then you can follow me. And then he goes on and he says, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. If you try to hang on to this existence that you have, you're going to lose everything. Oh, you want to hang on to your anger because you say, well, that's how my family does it. That's the way we respond. Nobody's going to cheat us and get away with it. Nobody's going to talk to us this way. Nobody's going to cut me off in traffic. That's just the way that's the way the men in my family, that's the way we handle business. Okay? Okay? Well, you hang on to that way and come see me in 20 years. Oh, we got real up here in the 11:15 service. Should have come to 9:30. It's a little softer. Because if you want to hang on to the life that you have, you'll lose everything. But you don't have to lose everything. He says, instead, but if you give up your life, and isn't that what the Apostle Paul says we should do in Romans chapter 12? He says, you should offer your bodies a living sacrifice. That every single day you should crawl out of your bed and you should crawl up on the altar and you could say, God, I am your sacrifice today. It is no longer I that live, but you that live in me. Today, my greatest desire is that something in me would die so that more of you could shine through me today. I am a living sacrifice today. And God, I commit myself to you and you alone. It's not about my way. It's about your way. It's not about my name. It's about your name. Father, glorify your name right now as I give you this day. Every day. He says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and yet you lose yourself in the process? I love that because he says, if there's no benefit there, it insinuates to me that there is a benefit somewhere else. So he says, if there's no benefit to that, then I think, whoo, there must be a benefit over here. So if there's no benefit to me hanging on to my life and doing it my way, there's got to be a great benefit when I give up my life to grab a hold of the life that he has and I live life his way. There's got to be a benefit, not just for me in eternity, there's got to be a benefit today. Jesus, later in Luke chapter 9, as we get ready to wrap this up, and before I share these scriptures with you, just to bring it into perspective, there are some scriptures in Luke 14 that Jesus speaks of. And I want to read these just to give us context for the next little portion of scriptures that we read. And in Luke chapter 14, they're coming right now on the screen, I promise. There they are. And Luke 14, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Now, some of you are like, is that in my Bible too? is this Jesus? Is this what Jesus said? He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone by comparison. Jesus said, you're not hating people. Okay, I mean, he's the one that told us to love, right? He's the God of love. But here's what he said, you got to hate people by comparison. Your father, your mother, your wife, and children, your brothers, your sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus says, when it comes to your commitment to me and your commitment to others or yourself, it better look like you hate them because you are so devoted to me. It better look like you don't care about them. Why? Because you care so much about me. He's not saying hate them. He's not saying don't like them. He says, but when it comes between me and you and them, or even you and yourself, it better look like you hate yourself compared to how committed you are to me. He says, otherwise you can't be my disciple, which brings a little context for this last scripture we're going to read, and then we're going to close in Luke chapter 9. There's three people that Jesus engages. And in verse 57, it says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, now Jesus didn't even engage them, this person ran to Jesus, okay? This person runs to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. I mean, doesn't that sound good? I will go with you wherever you go, Lord. I'm with you. I'm ready, ride or die. You know, I'm with you, Lord. And Jesus responds back. And he says, foxes have dens to live in. Birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. We don't read anything else there. And what's insinuated in the scripture Because the man was like, oh, like when you travel, like you don't stay in the Holiday Inn? Oh, what you're trying to tell me right now is you don't even know where you're going to eat dinner tonight? You don't even have a plan? Well, no, CJ, I need a little more security, and I need a little bit better of a plan. I kind of need to know where I'm going and when I'm going, and I don't like just get in the car and drive. Like, I like to have the reservations made 3 months in advance, and so, like, I can't really go with you right now because I need safety and security. And Jesus says, okay, then. See you. He encounters this other person, and now Jesus engages this next person, and he says to the person, come and follow me. And the man agreed. Well, that sounds like a good idea. Come and follow Jesus. I'm in. Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Now, some scholars say that the man's father had just died, and all he wanted to go and was just to do the funeral, and then he would come with Jesus. Other scholars say that his father was old, and he was trying to make preparation, just say, this is just not a good season for me right now. My parents are getting old, and I need to be here for them for the end of their life. But either way, this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus was saying, hey, your business is no longer death. Your business is now life. Your business now. It's not about that. Your commitment, he said, we got to get one thing clear. You want to come and follow me? He said, then let that take care of itself. Oh, we're not done yet. We come to the third person. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Let me just go say bye to my family and I will come with you. And Jesus says, once you put your hand to the plow, you can't look back because you are not fit for the kingdom, because when you look back, what you look back at might be bigger in your eyes than what you're looking to. You can't start in this direction and look back to the old life and look back to the old ways and look back to your old habits. Once you put your hand on the plow, there is only one direction to go. And he said, no, you can't do that if you want to be a part of the kingdom. Wow. Say, Jesus, this is really, really, really strong. See, it's Jesus that invites us into this relationship of death. It's Jesus that invites each and every one of us to come and die. Jesus invites us into this world that we would come and die. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he invite us into this relationship? Because Jesus understood what is on the other side of death. Jesus isn't inviting you to come and die so that you can be miserable. He's not inviting you to come and die just so he can make your life difficult. He's not inviting you to come and die just because. No, he's inviting you to come and die because he knows the life that God has for you. He knows what you were created to do. He knows the harvest that is in your future. He knows what is there because he already tasted death and stepped into resurrection and stepped into new life, and today he's experienced the harvest, and so he's inviting you to the same path that he walked down. This is nothing that he didn't taste himself. This is not a pathway that he didn't walk himself, and he's saying, hey, come and follow me. Pick up your cross. Turn from your selfish ways and come. If you want to serve me, you got to follow me. You got to follow me all the way to my death, because there is something for you on the other side of death that will blow your mind. Jesus isn't inviting you into death so you'll hate your life. He's not inviting you into death so that you'll just be miserable. He's inviting you into death so that you can be fruitful. He's inviting you into death. Jesus invited you to die. Why? Why did Jesus invite you to die? Because he knows that death invites expansion. It's death that invites expansion. Jesus invites you to death because he knows where death is going to take you. It is death. Death to yourself, death to your flesh, death to your old selfish ways. It is death to yourself. He knows when you experience that death, it is that death that invites expansion. You see, you may have come into 2018 and you said, this is my year. I'm going to expand my faith and expand my vision and expand my future and expand my marriage and expand. You see, if you said, I am going to expand, something's got to die. This is your year of expansion. That means that somebody's got to plant a seed in the ground. Jesus says, you want to come on this journey of expansion? You want to come? You want to come with me? You want what I have for you? Do you want that abundant life? Do you want to produce the fruit of the Spirit? Do you know how good your life is when you're producing the fruit of the Spirit? Do you know how good your life is when you're living in the overflow of the Spirit? Do you know how good your life is when you're filled up with the power of God and the purpose of God and the attitude of Christ? Do you know, man, life is so good when you live that way and just saying, hey, come on, come on. But the pathway to that is the same pathway I walked for you. Something's got to die. He's saying, hey, come on. Well, Lord, I like a little more safety and security. I don't really know what that's going to look like. Do you have the 10-step plan for me, Lord? I was like, no, just come. Trust me. Follow me. You got to turn. You got to walk, carry that cross. It'll work out. Well, I kind of like my life. I like the security that I've kind of built for myself. I kind of like the safety. I'm comfortable over here, God. I'm not really into that type of journey. He says, come follow me, come and die. And we say, well, actually right now I've got some things in my personal life. And God, this is just not really a good time for me right now. You really caught me in a bad season, God. I mean, I would give, but really right now, I'm really not in the place to give. I got some bills that I got to pay, and you know, and then there's that boat that I'm saving up for the summer. It's going to be a great time for my kids. And yeah, I'm going to invite some people from the church too. It'll be like a church kind of a thing too, you know, so I feel good about it. But I'm really saving up for this. I would give, but I'll catch up. God, I would serve, but God, you know, right now it's just really not in my schedule. I got kids running everywhere. And God, you know how it goes. Oh, Saturday, you got the outreach event. I could go and feed the homeless. Well, God, you know, that really doesn't fit in my plans because Saturday is really my only day that I have to rest. And so I really try to take my Saturday. He said, God, read the Bible for a year? Well, God, I really would, but you know, I got this new job. Because I got this new job, I'm going through all this training. I got to read all the books and all the profiles. I got to get really prepared for everything that's got to go. So this is not really the right year for me to do that. God, this is just not a convenient time. And he's saying, no, just come and die. Come and die. Come, give, and serve. Just let a little bit more of that selfish way die. Let a little bit more of you die, because I'm not interested in your death. I'm interested in your life. I'm just trying to get you to die so that I can get you to where you really want to go. This is what you want. This is just the pathway to get there. And Jesus just says, come and follow me. Yeah, you're going to die, but I'm going to take you to the greatest life you've ever known. Won't you stand with me today? Want you to bow your head just briefly with me. I believe there's some significant things happening in this room right now. And I believe that one of those things is that there is somebody in the room today. And if you were honest with yourself, you would say, Philip, I've never really surrendered my life to Christ. Maybe you've heard a lot of messages about Christ. Maybe you grew up in church and you say, there's never been a moment where my life really changed. Never been a moment. I'm not asking you, were you baptized when you were 10? I'm not asking you, are you on the membership roll at some church? What I'm asking you right now, has there been a moment when you fully surrendered your past, present, and future to the Lord. And everything began to change. No, you weren't perfect, but you weren't the same either. Say, Philip, I've never really had that moment, but I feel like this moment is my moment. Jesus went into the ground and tasted death 2,000 years ago so that today I could experience the new life and be a part of his harvest of change and transformation in the world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around right now. I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. This is just between you and God. Nobody's looking around right now. It's not between you and your neighbor. It's just between you and your Creator. You say, Philip, you're talking directly to me. And today, I want to surrender my life to God. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior so that I can be changed and transformed from this moment forward, that I would never be the same again. If I'm talking to you right now, I just want to know who I'm praying for today. If I'm talking to you, come on, will you just lift your hand up in the air? Hey, Philip, you're talking to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Today is a wonderful day. You can put your hands down. You know what? There's some other people in this room, and this is what I know. I know that even as I was speaking, you were thinking about some things in you that needed to die. You were thinking about some seeds of your selfish ways that need to get planted in the soil. If you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit, there's some flesh that needs to die. Say, Philip, you're talking to me right now. There's some seeds that I got to put in the ground today so that I can see the fruit of what God has for me, the harvest that he has in store for me. I'm ready to put something in the ground. I'm ready for something to die so that I can get the new thing that he has for me in my life. Come on, if that's you, lift up your hand right now all over this place. Say, something's got to die. Something's got to die. Something's got to give. I got to take up my cross. Carry it daily, reminding myself something has to die today. I've got to be a living sacrifice today, offering myself to God today. Come on, with those hands lifted right now, will you just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I need your grace and I need your love. I believe that you're my Lord and you're my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new creation. Guide me along the pathway to transformation in my life. Today I put a seed in the ground, a seed of selfishness, so that I can see the fruit of the Spirit, the harvest you have for me, born in my life. Father, I pray right now for every single person that lifted a hand today. God, I thank you. God, that right now seeds are being dropped into the soil. God, I thank you right now that seeds of greed and seeds of selfishness. God, I thank you right now that seeds of jealousy and envy and bitterness, God, or that seeds of old habits, God, that seeds of bad attitudes, God, that seeds of anger, that seeds are being dropped into the ground today, that part of us is dying, God, so that we can experience the abundant life that you have for us. We will get our harvest the same way that you got your harvest, and we will pass through death in order to get to life. And God, we thank you for that process that you are bringing us through so that we can produce the fruit that you have called us to in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, put your hands together right now. Give God some praise. Come on, lift up your voice.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.